Wrestling Daft presents The Daft Sheet. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of The Daft Sheet. A couple of, well, a day, maybe 2 days later than usual. But nonetheless, we are going to get you some red hot Wrestling Daft content out there. Unfortunately, not with Grado, John and Vab on this occasion. We are hoping that they are going to be back behind the mic very soon. I know that John is really, really trying to get stuff organised so that the lads can get a full main show recorded for everybody. But in the meantime, and in between times, it's myself, Chris Jack, running the show here on the Daft Sheet. Now, if you've been following me on Twitter, you'll have seen that the reason that we're a day late has been down to some technical issues at my end. You may have heard over the last couple of weeks, my internet has not been the greatest. And yesterday it was being a right pain in the ball bag. So instead of being the usual show where I have two guests on and we spitball with each other, this week is going to be slightly different. In that regular contributors, Stephen Loach, Lewis McNaughton and Craig DL have been able to put together their picks for the various elements of the Daft Sheet and sent them to me individually, which I'm going to mishmash together in this podcast and still follow the same format. But I'll also be offering my views on a couple of the segments as well. As I say, apologies that it's not the full regular slick production that we have on the Daft Sheet, but we're doing our best to get some content out to you. So as always, we start off by filling the front page of the Daft Sheet, and first up to offer their opinions on the pick of this week's wrestling to go on the front page is Stephen Loach.
Hi Chris, it's Steve here with my front page tip for this week's Daft Sheet. I would have to go for Adam Cole versus MJF being announced for the main event for All In at Wembley. I think it's the right main event to have. It's a climax to what's been a brilliant storyline that we've had a lot of fun with, and it'll be really interesting to see how it gets ended. I know a lot were calling for MJF versus Punk for a unification title match, but I don't want them to shotgun that. I would like to see them kind of build a bit more towards that. So I think having Cole versus MJF as a main event feels right. It's also going to be interesting to see who perhaps reverts to type. What I mean there is, who's going to go full heel? Is it going to be MJF or could it be Cole? Because, you know, Cole, as I've said to you before, is just as much a natural heel as MJF is, albeit a different kind of one. But another interesting aspect of it is when they signed the contract for it on Dynamite, the crowd were chanting Cole, read it first, read it first. So there's plenty of theories going about that MJF put a clause in the contract for something, and I would like to maybe see that get played out. Although, in all honesty, I've just got too much time in my hands and reading into things that just aren't there. Point is, we're getting Cole versus MJF at All In, at Wembley, in the main event. It's going to be a brilliant match, and I can't wait to see it. Also on Collision on Saturday, FTR challenged the Young Bucks to a tag title match at Wembley as well. We know that's going to be an all-timer. It's the trilogy as well, so it's to finally determine who's the best tag team of their era. I trust as well that they are just going to go all out and be determined to have the greatest tag team match of all time. And yeah, it's going to be brilliant. And also, I'm going to be there in the crowd, in the flesh, to see it. And I feel honoured and I feel very excited to see it as well. So at long last, we're finally seeing the card for All In finally come together, and it looks like it's going to be a belter. So my headline pitch for it is MJF versus Cole? FTR versus Young Bucks 3? Question mark. Yes, we're all in.
All right, Steve. I mean, it's me that comes up with the headlines. You know this. You know that it's me. I'm the headline maker. I'm the one that comes up with the headlines. But we'll see if I keep that in. But you make some very good points there, Stephen has, in terms of the way that the MJF and Adam Cole storyline is progressing. I think that putting them as the headline for Wembley, it's maybe a wee bit quick, because we don't really want to see the two of them splitting up anytime soon. But as Stephen alluded to there, the stuff with the contract, the visual of Adam Cole possibly motioning that he was going to stab MJF in the back, much like he did with Roddy Strong in NXT, it's definitely ramping up the tension and heightening the anticipation for that match. And I am very, very excited to see what they're going to do with the two of them as they headline All In as well. And FTR and the Bucks as well. I mean, it's a match that is pretty much made for Wembley, especially with all the animosity between, you know, the Elite being on Dynamite, FTR being on Collision, all that sort of stuff, and what that could potentially be leading to come All Out a week after All In. So that's a good opening gambit there from Steve. We'll move swiftly on there to Lewis. Lewis McNaughton also offered a front page pitch, and you'll hear that now.
Right, for my story of the week, I'll go with the controversial heel turner Jimmy Uso. And I'll sort of talk about the fallout of that and the last sort of month in the Bloodline story as well, because it's been a bit up and down. There's been a lot of negativity surrounding it as well, and I'm sort of on the fence as well. So, obviously, at SummerSlam, which was quite highly anticipated in terms of we kind of knew it would happen if you were in the know, that Jimmy Uso was probably going to turn on Jay. And that's exactly what happened. And the thing with this is, Jimmy and Jay Uso always said, or quite recently said, that they want to have a WrestleMania match against each other. However, there's still a fair time until WrestleMania. This doesn't seem as though it's going to be able to drag out that long. So I think they've jumped the gun on that. However, I feel like they're running out of ideas in the Bloodline story as well. They wanted something fresh, but I don't feel like it's the time to do Jimmy versus Jay. But I feel like they put themselves into a corner of there's no one else to help Roman. What else can we do? We've used quite a few characters, this and that. Roman's title reigns, defences are getting a bit stale. He's having the same sort of match against everyone since Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam last year. It's pretty much been the same exact match month in, month out. So with that being said, I'm leaning towards it being quite a bad thing. But also, in terms of back to Roman rather than the Bloodline, rather than Jimmy and Jay, what's he going to do for the next 6 months, 8 months, 9 months? Because the story clearly is here that Cody's going to be the only one to take it off him. So either he's going to take time off, I know he's just been injured, don't know how long that's going to be. However, with any other champion, the title would be stripped by that point. So I don't know how they're going to prolong this, by what feuds they're going to have, who's really up to the task of giving him a credible story. Are they going to have to try and play out the Usos, Jimmy versus Jay, and then try and get the Solo and Roman thing going, then get the four of them in, Fatal 4-Way, Tribal Combat? There's a lot of things they can do, but there isn't a lot of credible challengers for Roman with the title itself. And with the match in itself, Tribal Combat was supposed to be respect, honour, no one interfering. The whole match was built on that, and Solo just interfered straight away, halfway through the match. But I wouldn't say straight away, because it was like 3 hours into the match. But Solo interferes, renders that stipulation completely useless. It's basically just a no DQ at this point. Jimmy interferes. Is there going to be backlash with this, with the elders? Is Rikishi going to come out? Is Afa Sika, someone going to come out and say you're out of the bloodline because you've disrespected the tribe? I just don't think they know what they're doing right now. I think another thing is they're scared to end this bloodline story because it's gone so well. It's all they've done. It's all they've known on SmackDown and Raw for the last 3 years. So the fact it's getting a little bit stale, they don't want to end it, but it might come to a time where they have to. So I feel as though, on the whole, this is rushed. This is a bit... This is the most negative backlash I've seen of the Bloodline story so far, probably. So I'm just intrigued to see where they go from here and if it can sort of keep my interest as well as everyone else's.
As Lewis was saying there, the latest development in the Bloodline has probably been the least well-received of the recent storyline twists and turns that have been going on there. Jimmy choosing to betray his twin brother in this manner after what a lot of people have said was quite a slow and plodding match, much like a lot of the ones we've come to expect from Roman Reigns' title reign. It maybe wasn't a surprise, but it certainly was a bit of a shock. And it's prolonging whatever this payoff with the Bloodline stuff is going to be as well. Is it enough to make people start to doubt the strength of the storyline as a whole? I don't know. Does it make me want to see things speed up in terms of, bringing someone fresh into the Bloodline storyline to take the belt off Roman? I don't know. Are we going to see Jimmy and Jay spread all this out beyond sort of Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and on the way to WrestleMania? It probably will. It probably will. But as I said at the start of this wee bit here, it's probably been the most polarising bit of Bloodline storyline so far, and I think I'm ready for it to be done. I mean, I'm not a massive Raw or SmackDown viewer at the moment. I make no bones about it. But you know, when I see there's half an hour left on a PLE, and Roman's just coming out, I know that it's going over the 3 hours. I know that we're going to get 50 minutes instead of the 30. And I know that Sheamus was quite vocal the other week there in regards to, other people's matches getting cut because of the length that these Bloodline segments are taking. And I'm ready now. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy Roman Reigns as this monster heel, as this forever champion that he's portraying. But I just think at this moment in time, the storyline either needs a bit more of a shot than Jimmy versus Jay, a bit more of a shot in the arm to keep my interest in it. But it probably is the biggest story coming out of SummerSlam over the weekend. So Lewis is going to get the headline on this occasion. And the headline I'm going with there has a bit of a foot fetish kind of theme to it, as Brother puts the boot in as Jimmy Choo sees Roman. And again, it'll look better written down, as most of these pun-filled shitty headlines do. So what we're going to do is we've filled the front page. We're going to go to the back page now. And I am going to take the lead on this one. So as Stephen had mentioned as part of his piece there on MJF and Adam Cole, he also mentioned FTR and the Young Bucks being sort of set up on Collision. But for me, the match of the week to go on the back page, which means it's going to win, I'm the editor, I get to pick, is going to be CM Punk against Ricky Starks for the real AEW World Championship. It maybe wasn't the best match, technically. There was a couple of flubs here and there in it. But in terms of advancing the storyline of the real world champion, advancing this heel turn of Ricky Starks that we've been praising over the last wee while, and working in the Ricky Steamboat angle on it as well, I thought it was very well done. Punk, since coming back on Collision, he has looked like he's maybe still not that fit, and I think that's been evidenced by the fact that he's been in so many multi-man matches. But in terms of the stories that he's still able to portray in the ring, I think he's still as good as he ever was in that regard with his ring psychology and towing that line between being the face and the heel. He seems to be choosing what he wants to do each week as he goes on Collision. And during this week's match, I thought he played the babyface very well, especially with the way that Ricky Steamboat was worked into the match as the special enforcer. It was one of these ones where I thought he was coming in as special referee, special guest referee, but he was just on the outside. And, you know, the fact that he's always stayed down the line, never cheated in his life. No, he was on the outside making sure that there was no shenanigans, no tomfoolery going on. And I enjoyed that. And you can see as well, you know, from some of the social media stuff after that, how happy Punk was to have Ricky Steamboat there. But during the match, both men were, you know, going at it as they would. And of course, with the way that Ricky's been winning recently, there had to be some sort of, I've already said shenanigans, but there had to be some sort of fuck up, some sort of thing that the Ricky as the heel had to take advantage of. And it looked for the longest time that the ref bump was going to be the thing that helped Ricky out there. But instead, it went against him. Punk picked up the win. And in the mains, the AEW real world champion. But I think what was the most kind of interesting part of all of it was the beatdown that Ricky Starks gave Ricky Steamboat after it, as Punk celebrated with the belt. Ricky took the trouser belt off Ricky Steamboat and started whipping him pretty convincingly as well. You know, Steamboat took a fair few licks from Starks and that obviously incensed CM Punk. And it's, again, it's shown that Starks isn't just, you know, this, you know, happy-go-lucky, or lucky being the operative word, champion in terms of his own heart win over CM Punk. But this mean streak that he's got, which kind of started as a funny bit when he breezed past Jushin Liger when he was being presented with Owen Cup, the holding the ropes to cheat to win kind of thing. He's now brought that more sinister edge to things with the lashing, I suppose, that he gave Ricky Steamboat. And again, if you're looking quite deeply into it, you know, the lashes are very reminiscent of what MJF did to Cody a wee while ago as well. And again, with that tying in with the World Championship, with MJF's championship, it's getting wheels spinning, it's getting cogs turning in regards to where folk can go, or folk are willing to let their minds go with that kind of thing as well. Another notable thing on the CM Punk end from Collision as well is that Samoa Joe is apparently laying down the challenge to face Punk at All In, which, you know, I think maybe if we hadn't just seen it in the Owen Hart tournament, I think that would be a bit more thrilling than what it is now. But if it's a means to an end to finally putting Punk on a Collision course, pun fully intended, with the Elite, with Kenny Omega and or MJF at some point off the back of this, you know, I'm happy to see that. And again, it gives Joe, one of my all-time favourites, a nice spot on the Wembley card as well. So my pick for the back page is going to be Punk against Starks from Collision at the weekend. And now I'm going to pass over to Craig DL, who's going to give us his.
It was quite difficult to choose match of the week this week because there was so many things that you could look at and so many things that you could watch, you know. But I'm going to go a little bit different this week, and instead of looking at an actual match, I would say, take a look at the promo battle between The Miz and LA Knight. LA Knight is obviously massively over and he's just won the Battle Royal, which I think is a sign of things to come from the WWE. I reckon he's going to be built up over the coming months. He'll probably win a title at one of the four pay-per-views. I reckon you're probably looking at a Royal Rumble title win. And then he carries through into a programme for WrestleMania for a well-deserved spot on the card. But the promo battle, what you watch, you know, 7 or 8 minutes worth of absolute genius from two absolute crackers on the microphone, and LA Night more than stood his ground. It's almost became like a rite of passage when people are coming up through the WWE that they get paired with The Miz to see what it is they can do. And if they can stand toe-to-toe with The Miz, who, you know, one of the lines that LA Night delivered was incredible when he said, yeah, for 20 years you've had the spot because you're safe. I'm dangerous and that's why people don't trust me. And it's like, well, wow, you know, proper invested in. There was a little bit during the promo where one of the things that LA Knight said didn't land, but rather than him faltering and worrying about it, he just cracked on, you know. So check out the LA Knight versus The Miz promo battle. A lot of people will be thinking, is it going to be worth watching in terms of the actual payoff? But I think this feud will be really good on value in terms of the build-up. Not so sure about the payoff, but by the same token, The Miz is strong in the WWE style. Gets LA Knight up to the speed with how they want it, and then should he survive this, which I reckon he will, and should he excel, which I think we all agree he will, they'll probably put a strap on him. But then it's just, where do you go? Do you go for the US title? Do you go for the Intercontinental title? Because I cannot see Gunther losing the belt to LA Knight. And then you've got obviously the US title, which is probably, it's probably the one that they're going to go for. So yeah, LA Knight versus The Miz promo battle. That's one to check out.
I'll give him a pass in this one. You know, ideally we are looking for matches on here, but from watching the promo battle myself and seeing the reaction to it, it's a good enough thing to consider for the back page. Especially, you know, with the hype around LA Knight, obviously coming off the back of his Slim Jim's Battle Royal win, where they never really discussed what it is that he won for winning the Battle Royal. There wasn't really any stakes on it, but it seems like the momentum that is swelling with the fans in regards to LA Knight is finally, you know, kind of translating with the authority, as it were, at WWE, and putting them mouth to mouth, I suppose, with The Miz, one of the best modern WWE talkers. It's a good way to go with it, and I think that's what WWE have probably tried to capture on there, the viral moments, the smack talk between the two of them. Am I jazzed for a match between the two of them? Maybe not so much. I would rather see, and again, that's no slight on The Miz, I just don't particularly enjoy his matches. But in terms of being the next step in the ascent of LA Knight towards a title, towards the kind of the upper mid card, putting him with The Miz is a safe bet on there. But as I say, you know, the back page should technically be saved for the matches. And with that in mind, I am going to go with my pick, which was CM Punk against Vicky Starks on Collision. And the headline is going to be Starks shows no signs of running out of steamboat. I think I'll just keep it at that. Now, this is the part of the show where we go to the centerfold section of proceedings. Now, this week's centerfold, I couldn't get an interview. There wasn't anybody died, so I couldn't do a tribute, but thanks to everyone who got in touch in regards to my Adrian Street thing last week. But instead, I thought I would do a review of AEW Fight Forever. Now, I didn't just do this myself. I enlisted the help of my daughter, Evie, who has really, really enjoyed playing Fight Forever. And to a certain extent, I've enjoyed it a lot more because Evie has enjoyed playing it with me. So for the next sort of 12, 13 minutes or so, you're going to hear Evie's rundown of the game, what she enjoys about it, what she doesn't like about it. And then you're going to hear a bit of gameplay between us. Now, that might not be the most engaging thing to listen to, but if you're into ASMR, there's plenty of clicks and stuff. And we've got a bit of a payoff towards the end of it as well. So enjoy Evie's review of AEW Fight Forever.
Hello, my name is Evie, and me and my dad are going to be playing Fight Forever on the Nintendo Switch.
Yep. So what have you enjoyed about playing Fight Forever so far?
That you can do Route to Elite, challenge lots of CPUs, and, well, they're actually not called CPUs. They're called computers. So, yeah. And...
Who is your favourite character to play as in it?
As a girl, Ty Mello, and as a boy, MJF.
And have you liked doing the Road to Elite? You've done that a couple of times, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm playing as Anna Jay right now.
And how are you getting on in it?
I haven't done it for a while.
What is it that you like about Road to Elite? Do you like how easy it is, or do you like all the wee storylines in the middle of it?
Yeah, I like all the storylines and the way that Anna Jay gets into AEW. So, yeah.
And have you found when you've been playing it that depending on which character you go, it gets to do different storylines as well?
Yeah, because my first ever one was as Ty Mello, and it was a very different storyline than Anna Jay.
Because you were in the Dark Order for a bit, weren't you?
Yeah, but then they kicked me out for losing.
Oh, you could be off Mr. Brody Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I did it with Brian Danielson, and the Inner Circle tried to recruit me on that, but I decided not to. You've managed to complete Road to Elite so far as well, didn't you? You completed that with Ty Mello.
Yeah.
And what was the weird thing about the second last match that you had? Remember that as if you were fighting a ghost?
Yeah, I was like fighting myself.
You were fighting your own inner demons.
Yeah.
To see if you could overcome your confidence or your lack of confidence. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. And me and you, when we've been playing it together, we were a tag team, weren't we?
Yeah.
So who did we have? You were Ty Mello and I was... Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
What was the name of the team we had?
I forget.
The Mellow Kings.
The Mellow Kings, yeah.
Mellow Kings, and we basically tried to win every belt we could, didn't we?
Yeah.
So you, what belts did you have?
I had the TBS Tag Team Championship. I forget all the other belts.
Because I had all the belts with Eddie. I had the World Championship. I had the FTW Championship and TNT Championship as well.
But I had the FTW Championship first.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't think you did.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I got it off Freddie Starks.
So you did. Right, so what we're going to do here is we're going to play a game. Now, over the last few weeks... instead of playing as the Mello Kings, we've been playing as
Better Than You, Baby.
Yep, Evie's found an interest in MJF and Adam Cole. You've always liked Adam Cole, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yep. Ever since we were watching the Up Up Down Down Uno games on YouTube
in 2020.
In 2020 during lockdown, yeah.
Yeah.
When you were only five. So what we'll do is
I was five.
Yeah. Yeah, you were only five during lockdown. Or four, probably five. Something like that.
Wow.
Yep. Existential crisis. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a wee game here. The Mellow Kings are still the tag team champions at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
So as Better Than You, Baby, we're going to try and beat them to win the tag team titles here. So...
I'm MJF. I'm JF.
Evie's going MJF, which means I'll be Adam Cole, baby!
Wing.
And as I say, the current champions that we have on here are
these ones
and Eddie Kingston. Now, I know that it would be very easy just for us to reset it so that we're just the tag team champions straight off the bat. But there's no fun in that. There's no fun in that, and there's no content. So... we're going to do our best to win it. We have tried a couple of times over the last few days and we've not been very successful, have we?
No.
No.
Even though I think it's on easy.
No, don't be putting it in easy. We need to keep it
a challenge. I want to see if it actually is on easy.
Don't put it in easy.
I'm not gonna.
It's on elite. It's on elite difficulty. So maybe... So that's maybe why. But sure, we'll see how we got on here anyway. So, You liked doing all the entrance stuff as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
You like doing all the entrance stuff. So what have you put in the entrance for Better Than You, baby?
I've put in black and white, bubbles. I forget what I actually put.
You got a bit of pyro going on as well, I think.
Yeah, pyro.
So as we said at the start, we're playing this on the Switch. So when your teams come out and you press either the L or the R button on the Switch, you can change the angles.
So black and white, wow effect, ripple effect, widescreen, cascade pyro, autumn leaves, bubbles and cascade smoke.
Yep, and we even had a big inflatable MGF there as well. And we'll just skip through the Mellow King's entrance.
Because we don't really like them.
They're
the worst.
Who's going to be first in?
Me.
Right, Evie, you're first in. Up against Ty Mellow.
Pow! Pow! Ow. No.
Ty Mellow in the corner there, a good combo kick. Nice first kick there, but I think Eddie Kingston has tagged himself in. MGF trying to get a suplex there with Ty Mellow, but Kingston's came in and they're just kind of hugging for me, but just think Adam Cole's going to come in here. Drop kick to Nolan, missed everybody. Well, Adam Cole having to roll back out of the ring. Just going to go over to my side now. Eddie Kingston kind of laying it in thick on you there, MGF. Oh, headlock takeover. Right, I'm here to tag in if you need me, Vic. Come on, tag me in, tag me in. Get the tag. You've got MGF up on the top though. Unorthodox there from MGF. But he's laying waste to Ty Mellow. Although in saying that, Ty Mellow's kind of... Is Ty Mellow, when did they tag back in? I don't know. Right, come on, tag me in, Evie.
I'm trying to.
Come on,
okay,
Ty Mellow just keeps kicking me in the head. Right, tag, tag. Come on, we need to get this double clothesline down. Right, tag, come on. There we go. Tag me. Take that, Kingston. Oh, yes, nice first kick. Right, Ty Mellow getting it here. Gonna chop her right out of the ring. Oh, nice enziguri. I'm gonna taunt. How is it you there, taunt, Uwe?
Press the red trigger button. Oh no.
Right, so we're trying to get Ty Mellow back into the ring here so that I can smash up, get a Ushigiroshi if possible. Just chopping and punching away. Oh, I've got a signature. So,
lost it. Got it.
Oh, right, gonna taunt. Get back. See, that's one of the stated things here. Oh, I'm gonna go for the boom. Oh, there we go. There's it. Let's hit the boom. Pin. Count it, Aubrey. One, two. Oh, broken up.
How do I get back in?
The L trigger.
Ew.
So the two of us just now just bashing away at buttons, trying to get the win here. I might hit an Ushigiroshi. Hit it. Here we go. She's up. Oh, dropped in the knee. Pin. Here we go. One. Count it, Aubrey. One. Two. Evie, break up. Oh, right. I'm going to tag you in, Evie. You can come in for a wee bit. Need to get out. Tag in. Right. Here we go. Tag you in. That's us. Double team. I'll take care of Kingston. Drop kick.
Well, for the FTW Championship, I spent like 14 minutes playing this.
14 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. Pow.
Yeah, we should have probably put this on the easier level because we've had it with Biden. But it's because we're playing on Elite. Right, come on. Right, either get him. Pin him.
what I wanted to do all the time.
Right, Adam, pull back in again. Oh, he's slowed out again. Right, here we go. You get ready to come in. You get ready to come in. Count to Aubrey. Go to Team Elo.
Oh! I try.
Oh. Get out of the way. Oh.
Shall we?
Just kicking folk out the ring. You can't win if they're out the ring.
But then I'll get a new record.
You won't get... What record? What record are you looking for?
The record that you get.
We just need to win the match and get the titles.
I cannot move.
This is why it's taking so long, because we keep getting each other's way. Let him get in. Let him get in the ring.
I'm not doing anything.
Ugh. Level. How have you been playing this night? I'm getting burnt here. There we go. Carlican, elbow drop, or back elbow, and another one, spinning elbow. That's me deed. He's hitting another third. Surely that's me deed now. Oh, no.
But you will get the advantage.
22 minutes we've been playing this.
22 minutes.
We have a new record! It's not a record. You don't want to be playing forever on it. I know it's called Fight Forever, but... This was supposed to be 10 minutes of content for the podcast, and it's now double that. Right, signature.
Pin.
Oh, we got it!
Yeah!
We got it! We've finally done it! Well done, Evie!
Finally.
MJF pins Eddie Kingston. Better than you, baby. Finally. The tag team champions of AEW. Oh. And we did it on elite level as well. And that was after me getting hit with the spinning back elbows by Eddie Kingston as well.
We got 1, 2, 3.
So we get 7 stars.
7 stars.
7 star match for that. That's pretty good going. Plus some, a bit of coin as well. Well, we did it. Took us 20 minutes. But we did it. Well done. Well done.
Plus we will get an adjustment.
Yep. And all of the shouting at each other was just because we love each other, doesn't it, Eva?
Yeah.
So, overall, marks out of 5, how many stars would you give AEW Fight Forever?
5?
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks for joining the podcast today.
Thanks.
We just did it too sweet. Yeah. Bah. So that was Evie's review of Fight Forever. That was on the Switch. You can get it on all platforms and stuff like that. Despite the little thought bit between us when she kept getting my way when I was trying to pin and get the victory, I'm quite a good dad. I'm a fairly decent dad. Don't let that little kind of outburst distract you from that. Now, at this stage, we are going to look to fill page 3 with our choices for the most titillating bits of gossip from the weekend wrestling. And here is what Lewis had to say about that this week.
Right, so for the gossip page, it feels like it's not so much an article that's been put out or anything like that, it's just a personal opinion as well and sort of a little bit of a discussion. The booking of the women, obviously there's been a few things coming out that they're not happy, whether that's across AEW, but I'll focus more on WWE, especially on the fact that, touched on it last week, SummerSlam taking off 2 of the biggest women's matches of the year, probably. A big story by Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus that would have culminated at SummerSlam, as well as Rhea Ripley, hottest act in the whole of WWE, pretty much. Could even go as far as saying one of the best in all of wrestling at the moment, struggling to get on the SummerSlam card. You could say this is something against the women. However, we've seen Triple H coming out, the whole Becky Lynch thing about making lemonade out of the lemons you're given, but are they really being given any lemons at this point? But then there was an argument against that, saying that, I think it was Triple H said that It doesn't matter if you're women or men. The best stories, the best shows, the best drawing, sort of feuds will get the big spots like SummerSlam, WrestleMania. So I think that's fair. If it isn't drawing as much, if it's not getting as much attention, traction, then keep them off. However, I feel there is a stage where you can do better with them. Put a bit more emphasis on them, have more women's matches in the main show, Raw, SmackDowns, etc. You see, I found this mad as well. I think that was the longest women's match in either SummerSlam history or pay-per-view history or something like that. 20-odd minutes, just over 20 minutes, followed by a 37-minute match for the men. So directly after that, you're putting a match on twice as long, completely demeaning that as well. So I don't know about this, whether it was a right decision, whether they should be pushed more, or if it's just a Triple H thing saying it's not drawn well. I don't know sort of the analytical viewings and ratings and everything of these. However, I just feel like Rhea Ripley in particular definitely deserved to be on that SummerSlam card in more of a spot than she was by just running in and nothing really happening. So even if you could have put that Raquel Rhea match on with a squash match, 5 minutes, entrances included, everything, taking a little bit off that main event, or even taking a bit off the other places and giving them a 10-minute match. So I think the Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus stuff's been a little bit shit. It's not really gained the hype that we maybe thought it would. So that being left off the card, I think Becky Lynch has just got to sort of suck that up, and when they get their match, prove them wrong, show why that should have been on SummerSlam. But I feel like Rhea Ripley, maybe just Raquel wasn't a credible enough opponent to justify putting the match on ahead of sort of an LA Knight big moment. But I don't know, I'll hear your sort of takes on that as well.
The booking of the women's divisions in both AEW and WWE have been subject to a bit of criticism of late. I know that Lewis there focused mainly on the WWE stuff, but the AEW stuff as well over the last week has been quite interesting in terms of the accusations by Lufisto that she was kind of bullied in the locker room, that she wasn't given ample opportunity compared to Tony Khan's favourites, all that kind of stuff. And then the outpouring of sort of disagreement with Lufisto's take on it, from pretty much the whole AEW locker room, including MJF. It was quite weird. It was one of those things where, you know, if you follow, you know, your local independent wrestling promotion and they've got a show on, and just every time you open up your Instagram feed or your Twitter feed, you're just seeing people promoting the show. You're seeing the same poster over and over again. So it did seem like a bit of overkill, and I wouldn't want to believe that Tony Khan's been like, look, you can use tweet out to say that everything's rosy in our garden. I wouldn't want to believe that. So I hope that that's not been the case, and that everyone who's been kind of speaking out in retaliation to Lufisto's accusations has been doing so earnestly instead of being kind of asked to do it. But it is a very interesting thing in terms of the positioning of women on the cards. You know, as you'll hear from previous episodes of the Daft Sheet, I'm a big listener to What Culture, and every Wednesday they play Ladies Night to see if they're going to get more than one women's match on the card, and, you know, if they're going to be pretty much placed in the toilet break, that kind of thing, because Tony Khan's booking of the women's division hasn't been particularly great. You've also seen a bit of a dip in the form of the likes of Britt Baker, and again, they've suffered quite a few really bad injuries that could have been pushing the division on, most notably the Jamie Hayter one recently. And again, with the Becky Lynch stuff that Lewis mentioned there as well, the being asked to make lemons out of lemonade in the way that she reacted to it on social media, it was quite funny, but it just shows that, you know, whether or not Triple H is being truthful and saying, you know, whether you're a guy or a girl, you need to be compelling with your storylines. It's just not a good time for women's wrestling at the moment, whether that's through the booking or even, you know, in terms of the WWE side of things with the amount of injuries that have piled up in the women's tag division. So it's definitely a noteworthy thing to be mentioning there, and I think it probably will win the spot on page three. It'll be the Melinda Messenger this week. The only other bit of gossip that I was thinking of about putting in kind of relates into what I was just saying the other bit, the injuries, and that was the fact that Roman Reigns get injured at SummerSlam, Kevin Owens seems to be injured, Sami Zayn's got some mad growth thing coming out of his elbow. You had Sonya Deville getting injured as well there over the last couple of days as well. She's done her MCL apparently. So you sometimes forget that in the sake of entertainment, all of these people are putting their bodies on the line, and usually they are fairly quick to recover. But in some instances, it can be pretty serious. You know, anything with a CL in it can sometimes be a career ender, and it's going to, you know, it's certainly putting Sonya Deville on the shelf, who's had a pretty shit time of it of late anyway, certainly over the last couple of years. That's just adding to that misery as well, especially so soon after winning the Women's Tag Team Championships. The Kevin Owens injury and Sami Zayn carrying an injury as well, that's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal. Hopefully that doesn't result in them having to relinquish the tag championships. But again, they've not really done much with the tag championships since winning them at WrestleMania, in my opinion, in terms of creating a tag legacy with it. You know, obviously it was the culmination of the feud with the Bloodline and whatnot, but in terms of actually making them feel prestigious, I don't quite think they've managed to do that just yet. And hopefully these injuries that the two of them are carrying aren't going to, you know, prevent them from making something better of the titles. And with Roman Reigns being injured, having watched the footage back of how he's done it, it seems like either he's not been in position in time to catch Jay, or Jay's been too quick and not giving him the iggy, so to speak, in regards to want to catch him. It's an awkward way of that Jay lands on him. And obviously, if it's going to have any repercussions on this Bloodline angle, it might be a good thing, as I alluded to earlier on. But for the gossip this week for taking page three, again, I hope this doesn't sound misogynistic, but the story of the women's woes being all over page three is what's going to go there. And the headline will be, "When Life Gives You Lemons, Moan About It on Social Media." Now, we are going to go over to the TV picks now, and we're going to start off here with Steve Roach's picks for what you should be watching that's wrestling related, but not necessarily wrestling.
Hi Chris, it's Steve here, and I just wanted to share a couple of my TV listings recommendations to you. I'd highly recommend people check out the podcast this past weekend with Theo Vaughn. Theo Vaughn's a really well-known American comedian, very prominent on Netflix, just a really, really funny dude. He's got a really good podcast, similar to Joe Rogan's, but not nearly as controversial. Last week, or it might have been the week before, he had Hulk Hogan on it, and it was really, really interesting, actually. I know that Hogan's became a bit of a shell of his former self, and of course there was those horrible shitty racist comments that he made, and then there was the whole Gawker thing, etc, etc. But putting that aside, it was really interesting to hear him talk, because he actually delved into his kind of early life and his upbringing in Florida. Talked about how he was just going to be like his dad. He was just going to be like another construction worker, but he set himself out to become a big rock star. But then he was kind of diverted into the wrestling business, and it talked about how he got into it. And it also talks about his early career in Japan. He tells a really good story, actually, involving earthquake, John Tenter, he actually saved him from getting beaten up heavily by the Japanese ones. And he also just talks about as well his career in WWF through the years. And overall, I would just say it was just really cool hearing Hogan like this. It's a side of him that we've never really seen before. I know he's a notorious bullshitter. I think he also brings up the Metallica thing, that bollocks claim that he was going to be the bassist in Metallica. But still, it was really interesting, and it kind of humanised him again. So I'd really highly recommend it. And also, I've just seen as well that he's now also done a podcast with Ric Flair as well. Ric's been doing the podcast rounds a lot recently, that are always entertaining. So check that out if you can. It's called This Past Weekend with Theo Von. Peace out.
Theo Von is an absolute... In fact, there's not even any words I can describe him. If you're aware of who he is and, you know, all these sort of viral interviews and sound bites and stuff that have been on TikTok, then, you know, you'll know that an interview with Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, or anybody from the wrestling industry is just going to be absolutely wild. Because I'd imagine that as crazy as the stories that Hulk and Flair have all come up with, I'm pretty sure Theo Von will come up with some mad coke-fueled tale to rival it as well. He's a very interesting guy, Theo Von. He's a recovering alcoholic, I think. He's definitely had addiction issues in the past, but I think he's clean now. But with the stuff that comes out of his mouth, you wouldn't think it. You'd think he was permanently on something. But it makes him a very, very entertaining, if not controversial, comedian and interviewer and podcaster, which is what we all want to aspire to be, really, isn't it? So that's a good opening gambit in terms of the TV watching from Steve there. And in fact, myself and Craig Dale, we regularly share little clips of Theo on Instagram between each other when we are not discussing wrestling. So Craig is now going to give us his pick for what we should be watching this week.
For the TV section this week, I would say for any fan that's going to be watching All In at Wembley, make sure you go back and check out Grado's stuff, particularly his entrances. If you're looking for a bit of a comedy to watch, then watch the stuff that he did with TNA, which was quite good. But if you're looking for the range that he offers, have a look at the feud that he had with Drew Galloway, or Drew McIntyre, because some of the stuff, the promo battles, the lot was incredible. You know, I think one of the lines that Drew McIntyre delivered was like, "Look at me, I'm a wrestler, and look at you, you're a fucking clown," or something along those remarks, but definitely one of them worth checking out. And the reason I say that is because if the rumours are to be believed, then we're going to be getting Jeff Jarrett versus Grado at All In as some sort of filler, maybe a starter match. But if you know his entrances, you know, I've got every faith in the world that Tony Khan's going to stump up the money to get Living on a Prayer. That's Bon Jovi, but Like a Prayer. And I can imagine 80,000 people going wild singing that. So yeah, check out Grado's stuff. It'll be a bit of a history lesson for a lot of people to remind you about some of the good stuff that he did do. And whilst he is a bit of a comedy act, every card needs them. So yeah, that's my TV pages for this week.
I mean, we can't not pick Grado, right? It's a very, very good option there from Mr. Craig Dale in regards to going back and looking at all the sort of promos and stuff that are available on YouTube that have made Grado a hot commodity with All In just only weeks away. Obviously from the TalkSport promo that they did, which we discussed a wee bit last week, to the almost radio silence that has been from Grado in regards to what's going on. It's a very, very intriguing time. I've even had people asking me on Twitter and on Instagram if I'm in the know about it. How would I know? I just make a podcast and the guys in the main show, I assume, don't listen to. So I don't really have much of a connection with them other than a wee weekly exchange with John in regards to getting this file uploaded. But, you know, with the chat being that there is going to be some sort of involvement with Jarrett on the Wembley card, taking you back to Grado's roots. Go back, watch the Vice documentary, watch the Grado Berg entrance, watch Michelle McManus sing up to the ring. Whatever you do, get hyped for All In. And even if he's not on All In, just go back and watch it, because it's pretty damn good stuff. It's pretty good. And, you know, as I've said before, without Grado and doing what he did, there would have been no Kirk Cooper. There'd have been no sign of me ever wanting to step in a wrestling ring or ever having the confidence to do so. But seeing a guy like Grado being able to go there, not caring about his shape, his size, his weight, anything like that, and just being an act that people can get behind, it's as big an inspiration as you can ask for when you're a 33-year-old guy looking to step in the ring for the very first time. So, yeah, I'm fully on board with DL's pick on that, that you should go and watch some of Grado's old promo stuff just for to give yourself a laugh. You know, this is a miserable world sometimes. So if you need a pick-me-up, in fact, I almost broke into chocolate salty balls there off South Park. But if you ever need a pick-me-up, don't stick my balls in your mouth. Just go and watch Grado. And that's pretty much this week's Daft Sheet concluded. As I say, it's a wee bit truncated, a little bit less than normal because of the situation with Tok Tok that I am currently going through. And if I'm being honest as well, you know, to tie in the Grado stuff as well, I have had horrific diarrhea. So if you're interested in my hoop instead of Grado's this week, I have been doing shits that it would not surprise me if a doctor told me I had something wrong with my colon. It has been disgusting. And yeah, I've been on the Imodium all day to back myself up. So, you know, usually I pretend to be, you know, the diet version of Producer John. This week I'll be the diet version of Grado because of my arsehole mishaps. But this has been this week's The Daft Sheet. The headlines that we hit front page this week were Brother puts the boot in as Jimmy Choo Z's Roman for the front page. The back page headline was Starks shows no sign of running out of steamboat. And for page three, shit, what did we go with for that? It was Lewis's one anyway, that's whatever it was. So, as always, if you've enjoyed this show, let us know on Twitter. I know that not a lot of you do so, but let us know that you're enjoying it anyway. Sign up to the Discord, sign up to the Patreon, go and get a t-shirt at spreadshop.com, whatever it is. And however you enjoy your wrestling over the next week, keep it daft and keep it sheety.